And sometimes I still sit and question that, really, do I really deserve, like, the guy that I have? Do I really deserve him? Like, he's so good. Do I deserve it? Well, that's good, though. That's good to question it, because then there's that constant, like, fight for, like, not attention, but to want, to keep, to hold. And I think you have to know that in yourself that you're a good person. And we're all made to be good people. And sometimes choices make us seem like we're not as good of people, but we're all created by God and truly are good people at heart.
Okay, hi folks, welcome to the podcast. I'm Dr. John Duffy. As always, I so appreciate you protecting this time for my guests and I. And speaking of my guests, I have the great privilege of sitting across from somebody who I have so much respect for. Bella is with me. Welcome, Bella.
Hi.
Bella is, you're 18?
Yes.
Bella's 18. And I'm going to put you on the spot here a little bit and make you feel uncomfortable. Bella has the wisdom of somebody so much older. She's super articulate, super smart, and understands people and relationships unlike almost anybody I've ever met, much less anybody who's 18 years old. So we're going to sit here. We're going to tap your wisdom for a half an hour, if that's cool with you.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right. So tell me, we're going to talk about relationships. Tell me a little bit about your family, because I know you've got some good, tight family relationships. Tell me a little bit about those.
Okay. So I've always been brought up with family is number one, and family is important, and we always make sure that holidays and birthdays and graduations and any sort of celebration that we can have, we always do.
Together.
All of us.
How many generations, by the way, in your family get together?
Well, I have a great-grandmother, so that's four generations from my side, but my grandparents and their siblings' families all get together, so I'm friends with my fourth cousins.
With your fourth cousins?
Yeah.
A lot of people I know around your age are done with family. Mm-hmm. Or, you know what I mean, like kind of tolerate family.
Yeah.
But it isn't their priority. They'll do holidays with their family, but it's not something they're excited about or mm-hmm. look forward to. I get a different vibe from you about that.
Yeah, Christmas has always been our favorite holiday. And it's always been like just the cousins, and we have like a group of us, and we're just so close, and we hang out without our parents being involved, and we'll go, a lot of my cousins have pools, and we'll go hang out at the pool for the day, or like go to lunch and like talk, and we have like a friendship more than just family.
How many cousins, when you go all the way to fourth cousin, which I don't even know what that looks like on a family tree or anything, when you go all the way to fourth cousins, how many cousins do you have? How many people in your generation are there that you know of?
On my mom's side, there's a lot. I'm closer with my mom's side than my dad's side. My cousins on my mom's side are my age, so I have a better relationship with them.
Oh.
My cousins on my dad's side are younger, so they look up to me as a role model. And on my dad's side, he has four brothers, and they all have kids.
Wow.
So there's a bunch of us.
Yeah, yeah.
We all get along.
You point out your mom's side and your dad's side. Your parents are divorced.
Correct.
Oftentimes when I work with kids from families of divorce, mm-hmm. There's a divide. It makes family even more difficult. There's something about you that would suggest to me that that's not true for you.
Not with family. We've always had a very good open communication system with both sides. I'm close with my aunts on both sides of my family. I'm close with uncles on both sides. They're very good about talking, and we keep that communication open about everything. When they were getting divorced, you would think it would be really hard, but they made it pretty easy when it came to between the parents. Other things that happened that have made it not easy, my family's not perfect, but a lot of things with the extended family have helped, the fact that we have extended family.
Yeah. That's one thing I think is so cool about your story is when I talk to you, you talk about your extended family as easily as you talk about your brother, your parents, your immediate family. It all feels like this one unit. I feel like you have this massive amount of support.
It's like an army.
Yeah.
And if one person's hurt, we're all hurting, and we're all there to protect each other.
Do you think, like, if something's going wrong in your life, who could you go to?
I think my number one person or people that I go to is my godparents. My godparents are always there for me, and we've made godparents very special in our family, and they truly are like a second form of parents. And well, one of them is my mom's brother, and the other one is my mom's best friend and my aunt.
And you would talk to any of them?
Yeah.
And would you not also talk to your grandmother?
Yeah, me and my grandma are. We're really close. I tell her a lot. She's very, very easy to talk to.
How did the godparents thing come up? Like, I'm just thinking, like, if we had 20 18-year-olds in the room and I said, how many people can name their godparents? I'm guessing not everybody's going to get that right.
No, not at all.
So why does your family emphasize godparent relationships? That's very cool.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I don't know how that came about, but we've always made that really special. And my uncle, every time he came into town, we'd all get like so excited. So he's not just like my godparent or person that I go to. He's like all of ours, like all my cousins. Like we all confide in him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in my field, we talk a lot about boundaries. Oh, you got to have boundaries and clarity and structure. Mm-hmm. And so there's these like little alarm bells that go off that suggest to me like, maybe there's too much closeness. Maybe you guys are too much in each other's faces and know too much about each other's stories. How wrong am I here?
I wouldn't say you're like entirely wrong.
Thanks.
Sometimes it can be a bit much because everyone does kind of know your business. But in the same sense, it's good because if I am hurting or something's wrong, like I know I have someone who could be at the door in 5 minutes and come to my rescue, I guess, and come to talk and come to like, I quote unquote, save me from whatever is bothering me or hurting.
And there's so much going on in a teenager's life and mind and stuff.
For sure.
And it's not always stuff that like parents want to hear or godparents want to hear. Mm-hmm. Are you pretty open? Do you find like, okay, because I have this family and because we're so close, I'm willing to share my story, even if it's not the story somebody wants to hear.
Yeah, I would say I'm pretty open. I've always been the person to talk. So for me, talking is easy and I could talk about anything. But yeah, when it comes to my story or some things that like maybe a parent or anyone wouldn't really want to hear, I kind of have to talk. I mean, my dad has said from day one, you're a little too open with me.
Like, has he really?
Yeah.
So have you, do you pull back or are you kind of like, you know what, Dad, you're just going to have to deal because I'm open. I'm going to be talking.
Kind of, you just got to deal. It doesn't matter.
Really?
Yeah.
I push, so sometimes I'll talk to groups of parents and I push parents to be available to their kids, to take their fear, judgment, ego, put it away, and just be present and open to talking to and mostly listening to your kids. Do I give your parents, your godparents, your extended family great credit for this? Do you feel like, oh yeah, they're incredibly available to me in every way?
Yeah, for sure, they are.
What works so well in your family? Why does this work? Because normally this doesn't work. Normally this takes work.
Yeah. There's something about, I think all parties in my family have always said, like, if you ever need to talk, if you ever need anything, I'm here. Mm-hmm. Especially with the divorce, knowing that that can be extremely hard on children, they were very open about that. And my dad's parents are divorced, so his family especially knew like how divorce works. And my mom's side was very, I think, more scared about the divorce. So they made sure that they were like, hey, like, you ever need anything, like, I'm here, because they didn't really know what to expect, I guess.
The impact on you and your brother.
Yes.
Got it. How old were you when your parents divorced?
I think when they were like actually separated, I was 8.
And so, what was that like for an 8-year-old?
It was kind of scary. One day, Dad wasn't home.
It was like that. It wasn't like we're going to have a talk about this. It was just, this has happened.
Dad left.
Yeah.
And it wasn't initially the thought of a divorce. It was more, Dad's going to go away. But I think in my mom's mind, she knew that it was a divorce.
Got it.
She knew
it was going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a turn here because I'm curious to hear what your opinion is on this. A lot of parents come into my office across the hall here and they'll say, we are definitely going to get divorced, but we're going to stay together for the kids, because the kids need us together. So even though I have an 8 and a 4-year-old or whatever, mm-hmm. or I have a 12 and an 8-year-old, we're going to stay together, even though we know this marriage doesn't work. What do you think of that idea? Is that a good idea, or does that seem like a bad idea to you?
If they can keep the fighting out of the house and are away from the kids, I think for the most part it's a good idea. But if someone were to ask me if I ever wanted my parents together again, my answer is no. They would fight, and it did more harm than good. And when they were separated, eventually, after a amount of time, they became really good friends. And we could still do things together. It was harder.
Mm-hmm.
And other people came into the picture that made it more difficult. But I always had that communication with both parents. But if you are just going to stay together for the kids and not really change your personalities or, like, alter the way you are in front of the children, I think it's a bad idea.
Right. So if you're not working on that relationship somehow, if it's not really anything that's meaningful to you,
it'll end up being worse for the kids, I think.
Do you think it models something bad for the kids, something negative for them to stay together even if you're not, like, madly in love with each other?
I think it could model a couple different ways. I think it could be good to show that you're putting your children first and your kids come before even your own relationship. But it could also be, like, bad, because when they get married, it's a little iffy. Then what if they have the same situation?
Right. You know? Right. Yeah. What's it like when you're young for your parents to be dating somebody else? You know what I mean? Other than the other parent.
It's hard, for sure. It's hard to see your parent with someone else.
Yeah.
Especially, like, PDA-wise, like, it's too much. I don't like
my
that.
My skin just crawled. I can't imagine what it was like for you.
I didn't like to see my own parents PDA-wise. I thought that was kind of odd.
Right.
So to see them with other people, it was kind of weird. My dad's not with anyone right now, and neither is my mom, but when they were in the past, neither one of them really had ever really good relationships. And I think that was hardest, to see them go through kind of ugly relationships.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now you are 18.
Mm-hmm.
You've had relationships. You're in a relationship now, right?
I am.
How does that go? In other words, do you feel like your parents' relationships have had an impact on yours in some way, you know, or on the choices that you make?
I think my parents' relationships have had impact for sure, not necessarily good or bad, but they've helped me decide what kind of relationship I want and what I look for in another person and in a companion, because I knew I didn't want someone who was controlling. I knew I didn't want someone who was going to sit here and, like, be a bum and, like, not want to do anything. Even though I am 18, it's hard to see those qualities. But I know in my boyfriend right now that he has extremely good qualities, and qualities that I look for and could live with potentially.
And you're discerning about this, right? I mean, like, if I'm being honest, like, a lot of people around your age that I've worked with, it's almost like, you know, oh, this person's good looking, I'm going for that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the criteria are narrow, you know?
Yeah, there's not much.
Your criteria feel deeper than that to me. Not that that's irrelevant, I would assume.
No, he's good looking. I'm picky. And I've been told since I was little, I have every right to be as picky as I want to be, because there's so many men out there. So, I was definitely picky with Nick. Nick's my boyfriend. And he fits my deep qualities, I feel.
I love this. I love that idea. Be as picky as you want to be.
Yeah.
Like, that feels like such an important message, especially for girls and probably for women, right?
Yeah, girls for sure.
Yeah. So I've known, and I bet you also know, girls who are beautiful and smart and seem to have everything together,
mm-hmm.
and somehow pick the wrong guy. Pick a guy that's bad for them somehow,
for sure.
Right? Or, mm-hmm. or, you know, neglectful or abusive or cheating. And I'm always, even to this day, I've been doing this a long time, I'm puzzled by that. You know, I never quite get, like, you know, where that lack of entitlement comes from, that idea that, you know, like, I don't get to be as picky as I want to be. It's scarce out there, and I got to take what I can get.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on?
I don't know. I think girls feel, I think actually looks kind of have a lot to do with it. If the guy is good looking, but hey, he hooked up with another girl the other day.
Uh-huh.
It's like, well, that's not okay. Like, you could find another guy, and looks really isn't everything. I truly believe that. I think that girls have lost that self-respect. Like, they don't feel that they're worthy of anything better. And you're always worthy of the best.
How do you know that? I love that. I want people to, like, rewind 10 seconds and listen to that about 50 times. How do you know that for yourself? How do you know you're worthy of the best?
I think it took a while for me to realize that. And sometimes I still sit and question that. Really, do I really deserve, like, the guy that I have? Do I really deserve him? Like, he's so good. Do I deserve it? Well, that's good, though. That's good to question it, because then there's that constant, like, fight for, like, not attention, but to want, to keep, to hold. And I think you have to know that in yourself that you're a good person. And we're all made to be good people. And sometimes choices make us seem like we're not as good of people, but we're all created by God and truly are good people at heart.
I believe that too. You think everybody's a good person. You think people are fundamentally good.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think they could choose to be bad.
Mm-hmm. Choose to do bad things.
Yeah.
But basics, you know, this might be, I'm changing the page a little bit. What do you think happens when people make bad choices in relationships, when they're cruel, when they're, you know, when they cheat, when they're neglectful? What's happening to a good soul that does terrible things?
I think they were, maybe something happened when they were being brought up by their parents, or something, they saw something and it traumatized them and they never could get over it. So maybe their parents cheated on each other.
Right.
And they're like, hey, like, if they did it, it's okay. Or they're hurt by them. So something deeper than just that decision affected it. But just because they made that decision, and maybe you feel bad for the way that they were brought up or something that led them to that decision, that doesn't mean that it's okay. And that doesn't mean that you can't get away from it. Because even though that decision was made, they chose it. They decided it, and that means that they could do it again. And
right.
They could do it again.
Right.
And they may never change.
So if I'm paraphrasing right,
yes.
Everybody is fundamentally good. But if people choose to do the wrong thing and not work on themselves,
mm-hmm.
to settle for that in a relationship is absurd, is wrong. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're all worthy of the best of another person.
Correct.
I like what you said a minute ago too, that idea that, you know, hey, I like that he's a good person, Nick, and that you're a good person, and, you know, and that question of, like, do I deserve this? Or at the very least, I need to work on this. I need to, like, I need to give my all if he's going to give his all.
Yeah.
He, right? I mean, I think that people who've been married 30 years need to consider that, because people get complacent in relationships all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'll ask, like, where does the wisdom of knowing that come from? How long have you and Nick been together?
Almost 2 years.
A long time.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, yeah, that's a long time.
For high school, it's a long time.
It is, right? Right? So how is this not falling apart? Most relationships in high school, it's like 2 months, and that's like, that's a pretty good run.
Yeah.
You know?
I think the idea of being friends first. And if you're friends, then everything else kind of falls into place. I mean, no, me and Nick, before we were, I guess, like, romantically, quote
uh-huh.
unquote, involved. I don't think of us that way. Like, we're not old, so I have a hard time, like, saying that. But
you're not, like, ballroom dancing around.
No, we weren't really, like, we were introduced by other friends.
Right.
So we were friends first, like,
yeah.
not first, but, like, in our relationship, we developed that, like, friendship and that trust And I think that's key. And that you have, like, you could sit and have a conversation and do nothing and be having a good time just because you're talking.
How big a violation of trust becomes, and I'm not talking about you and Nick necessarily, mm-hmm. but theoretically in your mind, becomes a deal breaker?
Because
that's no small thing, I can tell. You've talked about that before.
Yeah, trust is important.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard to say because, like, you know, you tell someone something and then they go tell someone else. It's like, okay, that kind of sucks. Like, that was awful of you to do, but...
Right.
Okay, I'll try again. You know what I mean? So, like, maybe, like, depending on the severity of what was repeated, that could depend. I think cheating from the moment it happens is no good.
Right.
Doesn't matter. I mean, like, where you are in the relationship, it's no good.
Yeah.
And there's something that you need to build back that trust. My dad always told me that trust is easy to build, but as soon as it's broken, it's very, very hard to be built back up.
Wow. Yeah, that's true, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
And sometimes, do you think some relationships, for that reason or for other reasons, just aren't meant to be? You know what I mean? Like, do you think that sometimes it's like, okay, well, you know, there's this draw there's this attraction there, but somehow, for whatever reason, this shouldn't be something to pursue?
Yeah, sometimes you really care about someone and you think you love them, but if something like that happened and feel like that trust was really betrayed and you don't think you could ever forgive the person, then that relationship, no matter how deep the feeling is, it can no longer be stable and it won't be successful.
I've worked with girls, women, men too, but definitely more on the female side, where there's this anxiety of, if I lose this, even though it's far from perfect, even though it doesn't even meet the criteria you're talking about as acceptable, are so desperate to hang on because there's this fear like, I'm not sure there's anybody else out there for me. What do you think of that notion?
I think that's a true notion, like, for sure. Like, definitely women feel that way. And I could even say, like, even in my, like, young age, I feel funny talking about, like, romantic relationship, whatever, boyfriend, girlfriend, because I'm still young. But I've felt that way. Like, okay, like, if I'm not with him, like, where am I going to go? Like,
right.
Who else is there? Well, I mean, there's, like I said, there's always someone else. Like, you could go to dinner and your waiter is like, you're like, wow, I feel
catching. That's the guy right there. Yeah.
That's him. You know,
right,
like, you're
right.
On vacation and, like, you're... I don't know, like, the person sitting next to you on the plane. I don't know, like, there's so many opportunities in life and so many places and people in this world that there's no way that there's not someone for you out there.
Right, 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 right. Years ago I worked with this girl, so I knew her through her high school years and her college years. And she'd go out with a guy for a while, and then she'd come in 1 week and say, oh, we broke up. And then the following week, they'd be like, you know, you want to see a picture of my new boyfriend? And I always wanted her to be alone for a while.
Yeah.
You know, what do you think of the idea of not being with somebody for a while?
I think it's healthy. I think it's good to, like, be able to be by yourself. But not, like, because you're not alone. You're not truly, like, never alone. You have family, you have friends, you have whoever else is around you. And no one's ever truly alone. But the fact that you always have to have, like, a companion is, I think, a bad thing. Like, you don't always need, like, a man to fulfill your need.
You need to be able to do that on your own somehow.
Yeah,
huh?
And girlfriends, I think, can easily be, can fulfill the man's role. I mean, they could vary, and not to be, like, lesbian or, like, anything, but, like...
I don't think anybody was assuming that, but I'm glad you pointed it out, okay.
It sounded like it.
Right, right.
I have girlfriends who very easily I could sit and they're my friend and I can have the same conversations I have with my boyfriend.
I can imagine somebody listening thinking, oh, that's bullshit. That's not true, right? You know,
not
like,
sure.
No, you got to be with somebody and you want to be romantically involved with somebody. And yet I know you mean what you say. Girlfriends, your family.
Right?
Tell me about friends, about girlfriends for you. You know, like... are they important? Are they critical?
They're super important, and they've always been there, like, for me when anything was wrong. And I have a small little group of girlfriends, and I don't trust anyone else. And I've learned it's hard to trust people. I mean, being a girl, like, everyone knows that. Like, it's hard to, girls talk. So if you find that little group that doesn't really talk and talks to each other, you're good. And I feel like if something was going wrong at home, or there was a death in the family, or there was something going on in my relationship, if I called them, they were right there.
Yeah.
And I hope they feel the same about me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a phone call away, I'm a text message away, whatever you need. And I think girls are key because, like, our parents always say, a boy could go at any time, but your girls always, like, your girls are always there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Girls talk.
Yeah.
When I started doing this job, we focused on boys being, like, the bullies, the mean kids. It was around the time when Columbine happened, so we were looking for these kids who were, like, troubled, you know,
right.
And it was all boys. And then once social media started showing up, we realized girls can be so horrible
awful.
To each other.
They're awful.
So how do you navigate around that? Like, how do you find that little circle, even if it's tight,
mm-hmm.
this little circle of girls that you can trust and talk to?
I think social media is a big part of it. I think girls are sneaky, so they're not going to do it to your face.
Right.
Ever. It's going to be behind
ever.
Your back.
It's always going to be online?
It's either online or it's behind your back.
Got it.
And I think when you know that, like, you have, yeah, girls fight, we fight like sisters, but when you have a friend who is always there and always listening, and it goes both ways. You're not always talking. They're not always talking. They're always just, they're there for you.
Yeah.
It was hard. High school was hard. Yeah, it wasn't easy.
You seem so formidable. I picture this, just knowing you a little.
Mm-hmm.
I picture that if somebody said something about you behind your back that wasn't pleasing to you,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want to be that girl. I mean, I would picture, I would picture that you'd be willing to take her on.
Oh, I would.
Where does that come from? Like, would you literally, like, to her face,
oh,
like,
no.
Hey, you and I are going to talk right now?
Yeah, I mean, if it was worth it.
Uh-huh.
There's some girls who it's just like, okay, you said, like, seriously, like, that was petty. You didn't have to say something like that, and I don't care.
Right.
Like, I just let it go.
Got it.
Some of them, it's just not worth the argument, the battle.
So you got to pick your battles. You can't fight every single one because
yeah.
there's going to be a lot of them.
Right.
Okay.
And as a girl, I feel like there's more. So, I think there's some when it's like, if it's like your best friend and you hear she said something behind your back, you're like, hey.
What's your problem?
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
What you, and you have to do it to their face. You do it over the phone, you do it over text, whatever. It's never the same. It's not the same outcome.
Why?
Because with texting, they can screenshot your message and be like, hey, to their other friend, what should I say?
Wow.
You
right.
know?
Right. Right. Of course. Yeah. I hadn't thought of that, but yeah.
Yeah. And they're on their phone and they don't see your face.
Right.
You know?
So you want them to get that full, like, multi-sensory message that, like, I'm not happy
yeah.
and we're going to talk about this.
For sure.
Yeah. I picture that because you're wise, that people, and maybe we've talked about this a little bit, that you're the therapist among your friends and stuff like that. Is that true? Do people
sometimes.
Come to you with their problems?
A lot of people come to, yeah.
How do you put walls around that? How do you decide, like, what you're going to entertain and what you're not? Or do you have to listen to everybody who wants to talk?
I pretty much listen to everybody. I feel like I take it as a compliment. Like, if they're comfortable enough to talk to me, I have to listen. Like, I definitely should, because it's a compliment. There's no other way to put it. And,
yeah.
Sometimes it's hard to listen to other people's problems, or you listen to their problem and you're like, oh my God, seriously, I have so many other important things going on in my life right now. Like, this is bothering you. But it's, everyone has their own issues, and it's a problem to them. It's serious to them. So take it seriously and listen.
Even if you feel like, boy, I've got something going on right now that is far more dramatic than what you're talking about.
Yeah.
That takes a little fortitude, I think, but I'm impressed that you do it. You said high school is hard.
Yeah.
What's been the hardest part of high school for you?
I think at home has been hard. I think dealing with, like, change has been hard. I transferred high schools.
Mm-hmm.
That was difficult. I joined a team and that made things a lot easier. Being involved helped. Girls are hard. There's no other way around it.
Yeah.
They suck. But I think if things were good at home, it was easier to keep things good at school.
Say more about that. What do you mean?
So if, like, I was fighting with my mom about something, anything, it was harder to go to school and be okay or be totally calm and collected.
Do you think your mom is aware of that? Do you think your dad's aware of that, that they have that kind of impact on you?
I think they don't realize the entire impact, but I think they know there is an impact. When my mom would say, like, anything, like, it's your mom. Like, I'm close to my mom. I love my mom. And my mom is my biggest supporter, and she's my person. Like, she's my best friend at times.
Mm-hmm.
And at times, she's my mom, and I want no part of her.
Right.
So it's hard to balance that. And I think being in a broken, quote-unquote broken home where your parents aren't in the same house, when you need that other parent to kind of back you up, it's hard to not have that other parent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think of the idea of a parent being friends with their, or friendly with their kid, or friends with their kid? Because there's, in my field, there's a big, like, you know, oh no, you're the parent, you're not going to be friends. And I bristle at that a little bit. Part of me thinks, like, you kind of want to be their friend, because if you're not, you're on the outs, right?
I think it's better to be their friend, because if you're not their friend, they're hiding something from you, you know? And me and my mom have always had open communication, and I could come and talk to her about anything, any sort of high school issue, any sort of boy issue, like, always talk to my mom. And I think to keep that communication open, you have to develop some sort of friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And even though you have to keep boundaries, quote unquote, and you have to have rules, rules are healthy.
Right.
My mom's always been very strict with me.
Yeah.
From day one, I've always had a bunch of rules, and I've always had to do chores. But as I got older, she stopped having to make those rules because I willingly did those things. I would call my mom, hey, mom, is it okay if so-and-so comes over? Or sometimes she'd get mad, but I'd be like, hey, mom, so-and-so is coming over. It's not, you should ask, but that communication was always there. And I think that's more important than being like the parent, because they're going to hide something from you.
And then you're...
And that's more dangerous.
Then it's adversarial. It's not even cooperative in any way, right?
No.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I appreciate that. All right, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Okay.
Given the way high school went for you, and given what you know about relationships,
mm-hmm.
There is an assembly at the high school you just graduated from.
Okay.
You're not nervous, and you've got 2 minutes to address them, and you want them to hear something important that you've learned in your life. What do you think you want them to know?
That's hard.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I would say that life is short, and good people are hard to come by. There's few, but there's enough. And the balance of people makes the world go around. And I think that keeping those good people around and keeping them in your company is something that you always have to do, but always putting your family first, because inevitably their love is unconditional. And that's something that I was always taught, is that unconditional love comes above and beyond any other kind of love.
And I think your family benefits from that, from you specifically too. I so appreciate you being here, Bella, and you're brilliant. I'm going to make you come back, and you know, I'm going to make you come back and talk to me again. So, but thank you,
thank you so much.
Okay, so listen two or three times to what Bella has to say here. You can find this podcast on iTunes, on WGN Plus, on Podbean, and I think a couple other places. I'll let you know. There is a free parenting video series on my website, drjohnduffy.com. If you have any thoughts, questions, comments about this website, or any thoughts about what you'd like to hear us talk about here, Follow me on Facebook, Dr. John Duffy, and I will make sure that we address it. Have a great day. And again, I so appreciate your time. Talk to you next time. Bye-bye.